Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God this morning for a new day. Thanking God for the sunshine that's coming through my window. I'm just thanking God, period, because I am thankful, I'm grateful, I am blessed that God gave me another day. I just say, God, thank you. You know, this morning as I was, you know, putting a note on Facebook for the show and just for today that God was giving me, I want to share, have gotten so caught up in politics in our world that we've forgotten how to love. And the word that God gave me this morning was a prayer. Help us, O God of our salvation. That is our title for this morning. Help us, O God of our salvation. We need God's help. You know, this morning, the song from way back that, you know, the mothers used to sing, Oh, Lord, I need you to help me. Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. Oh, Lord, I need you to help me. We need help from God in this nation today. We need God's help. We need the peace that can only come from the Lord. We need God for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness. We need the Lord today. And we need his help as a nation. We have forgotten how to love each other. We've forgotten how to praise God. And the word that God gave me today was, as we celebrate America's independence on this 4th of July, we need to call on salvation to restore liberty to all Americans. God gave us all free will. Who is man to take it away? On this day, I remember that my ancestors were three-fifths of a human being, yet were the first to die. Let the America to truly become one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. As the word of God tells us in Psalm 30, in the 33rd Psalm, chapter 33 and 12, Psalm 33 and 12. And this was my verse for today from Bible Gateway, and it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. We are God's children. We were grafted in. We are special to God. But we have to learn how to be special to each other. So on this 4th of July, let us not put God second. Keep him first in everything that we are doing in your life. Let him know that you love him. Let him know that you care about each other. I love God, and I love all of you. And I want God to love us as a nation, to help us to be better. Help us to be better human beings, to be better followers of God. All are God's children. And he loves us. Our salvation comes from Jesus Christ. But he wants to be a choice. He doesn't want to be forced on anyone's throat. He wants you to choose to be saved, to choose to be his children. God wants us to choose him. He does not want to be forced down anyone's throat. Salvation is freely given. All you have to do is accept. So keep God first and pray. Help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of your name. Father God, we come to you this morning with hands raised, asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Lord, let there be no fighting, no killing, no prejudice and bigotry, no thing that hurts anyone. Let us love each other on this day. Let us remember the past and be better than. Lord God, help those that want to rewrite history because they feel bad. Because your word has a lot of things in it that would make someone feel bad. But it's not to hurt or harm, but to help so that history is not repeated. Father God, I pray for this nation that we become a nation truly indivisible, for liberty and justice for all, that we become a nation, one nation under, because you're the God of all of us. You're the God of Christians. You're the God of those that are Muslim. You are the God of us all. You are the God of our brothers who are Jewish. You are more their God than any God. And they are your chosen, but you grafted us into our sin. Lord, let us never forget that one nation under God is all of us. And we pray salvation through Jesus Christ for the unsaved. Father God, I pray, courts, I pray for the leaders of this nation. I pray for the people of this nation that we do not become complacent and allow our nation to fall. You gave us this beautiful country. And the only war that we ever had that we had to fight against each other was for the freedom of your children. The freedom everyone to have liberty, just as our independence document said. That we would not be three-fifths, but a whole individual with the rights of every other individual. Father God, I pray that this nation become a loving, kind nation, because your son has already told us that a house divided against itself shall not stand. I love my country, God. And I pray for our nation, God, that we will remember that we have to have you in it. And that you are the author and the finisher of everything. And even you give us free will. Who are we as mankind to tell each other what they must and must not do with their individual selves? Lord, you've already given us a blueprint to live by, to love you, to remember your day, establish, not to worship idols, honor our parents and love them, not to steal, not to kill, not to covet. You've given us a blueprint for morality. All we have to do is follow it. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning, and I lift it up to you, asking you again, Father, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight, for you are my sin, and you are my redeemer. And I lift up this nation on this day of independence. I lift it up in the name of Jesus. praying over each and every man, woman, and child, born and unborn, knitted in mother's womb. I pray over our children, God, lifting each and every one up because they all have a purpose. And Lord, we give it all to you. We give our babies as we give ourselves to you. For you are our God, and you determine our future. In Jesus' name, Lord, let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirit. Let this word, oh God, help somebody today. For you, oh my God, and I love you. And for the breath of life, I'm thankful for another day. In Jesus' name, I bind and rebuke all spirits that will attack the people of God. I bind them and I send them back to the pits of hell. But if we do not speak truth, we will not stand as a nation. Help pastors and ministers and teachers and preachers and the fivefold ministers to speak the truth, not from our words, but from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. Thanking God for another day. Another day to breathe the air that he has given us and pray for his cleanliness. Another day to call on the name of Jesus. Another day to say to God, help us, O God of our salvation, because we are not saved until we thank God and until we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are blessed to be children of God. We are blessed to be Americans. Let us not take our freedoms for granted. Let us not, reading the Chronicles, that Solomon was building this beautiful house for God, that it would be destroyed, that it would be destroyed, that it would be treated like any other building. Things of God would be stolen. Stolen. That the gold would be stripped from the wall. Because of wickedness of the nation. So let's get in our word this morning. We are coming out of 2 Chronicles chapter 3 through chapter 4 verse 22. And it tells us in our word this morning. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. This is the foundation which Solomon laid for building the house of God. The length was 60 cubits by 60 according to the former measure, and the width 20 cubits, and the vestibule that was in front of the sanctuary was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the height was 120. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. The larger room he paneled with cypress, which he overlaid with fine gold. And he carved palm trees and chainwork on it. Created the house with the precious stones for beauty. And the gold was gold from Parvium. He also overlaid the house, the beams and the doorposts, its walls and doors with gold. And he carved cherubims on the walls. And he made the most high, most holy place. Its length was according to the width of the house, 20 cubits, and its width, 20 cubits. He overlaid it with 600 talents of fine gold. The weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold, and he overlaid the upper area with gold. In the most holy place, he made two cherubim fashioned by carving and overlaid them with gold. The wings of the cherubim were 50 cubits in overall length. Of one cherubim was 5 cubits, reaching the wall of the room, and the other wing was 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherub. One wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the room, and the other wing also was 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherub. The wings of these cherubim spanned 20 cubits overall. They stood on their feet, and they faced inward. And he made the veil of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen, and wove cherubim into it. Also, he made in front of the temple two pillars, 35 cubits high, and the capital that was on the top of each of them was 5 cubits. He made wreaths of chainwork as in the inner sanctuary and put them on top of the pillars. And he made 100 pomegranates and put them on the wreath of chainwork. Then he set up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. He called the name of the one on the right hand, Jachin, and the name of the other, Boaz. Moreover, he made a bronze altar, 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height. Then he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits with one rim to the other. It was completely round. Its width was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen, encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. And I remember as we were reading, and I believe 2 Kings, how they tore all of this out and took it away. How they vilified the house of God that was created in love by Solomon. But Solomon loved God. But they took everything that he did, all of his gold, stripped from the wall. And it goes on to tell us, in verse 4, it stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup. Like a lily blossom, it contained 300 baths. He also made 10 layers and put 5 levers, and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to wash in them such things as offered for the burnt offerings. They would wash in them, but the sea was for priests to wash in. And he made 10 lampstands of gold according to their design and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. 5 on the right side and 5 on the left, and he made 100 bowls of gold. Furthermore, he made the court of the priest and the great court, the doors for the court, and he overlaid these doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side toward the southeast. Then Huram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Huram finished doing the work of that he was to do for King Solomon, for the house of God. The two pillars and the bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the pillars. The two networks covering the two bowl-shaped capitals, which were on top of the pillars, 400 pomegranates for the two networks, two rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the two bowl-shaped capitals that were on the pillars. He also made carts and the levers on the carts. One seat, 12 oxen under, also the pot, the shovel, the fork, and all their articles. Hiram, his master craftsman, made of burnished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. In the plain of Jordan, the king had been cast in clay mold between Succoth and Zeridan. And Solomon had all these articles made in such great abundance that the weight of the bronze was not determined. But Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of God, the altar of gold, the tables on which was the showbread, the lampstand with their lamps of pure gold, to burn in the present prescribed manner in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wicker trimmers of gold, of pure gold, the trimmers, the bows, the lattice, and inner doors to the most holy place, and the doors of the main hall of the temple were gold. Can you imagine this golden temple for God? All gold. Made with love. Made from the design that God gave David and David gave Solomon. Everything done the order that God wanted it done in. Trusting God. Asking God to guide and to lead in everything that you do, in the Lord, in everything and in every way, because it is all God. We are blessed beyond measure because God blessed us, and he loves us, and he cares about us. Let us be united in the love of God today. Lift up and not tear down. Today, lift up and not tear down. Thank God for your blessings. Count them one by one. Hallelujah. And our psalm for this morning is where our title comes from. And we are coming out of the 79th Psalm, verses 5 through 10. And it says, how long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord? How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. But they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. That's a prayer for this nation. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we are being brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Even then, he knew Jesus existed. David knew Jesus existed. He called him my Lord. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Come on now. Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. And I love this word that Dr. Stanley took, and which is our title this morning. Help us, O God of our salvation, and the rest is for the glory of your name. When we pray about something for the sake of God's name, We urge him to act in order to defend his reputation, to make his glory known, to honor him, and to let others see his majesty and greatness. We lift up the name of Jesus this morning as we lift up our Father God, who is our help in times of trouble. We got to learn to call on Jesus. We got to learn to call on our Heavenly Father. We got to learn to say thank you. Tell God thank you today that he blessed you with just the breath of your body. Just thank God that you don't have oxygen. There are so many that do. Thank God that you can walk, that you can talk, that you can get out of your bed. Somebody can't get out of the bed today. Somebody can't talk today. Somebody is on oxygen today. Somebody is under the ground today. We've got to thank God every day that you wake up, give him thanks, and say, thank you, Lord, for this new day that you allowed me to have. We got to stop thinking we are all that. We are nothing without God. This nation is nothing without God. God in it. And I'm not talking the God of some who want to take, and vilify and put down and try to act like they're holy when they're hateful and mean and nasty. But our God is not hateful, mean, and he's definitely not nasty. We got to stop it, putting things that are man-made and trying to act like we're doing it for God. God sees past the surface and understands everybody, all of us, will be held accountable for our actions. I won't be held accountable for your actions. I can't put you in hell, and I cannot send you to heaven. I cannot judge your lifestyle. Only God can. And nothing, not one thing happens that God does not allow. And I'm sorry, yes, God allows children to be murdered. Yes, God allows people we love to die. But everything is for a purpose and a reason. And we got to stop trying to be God. Because if we continue trying to be God, God will come. The Jesus that comes is not the Jesus we expect. We got to read Revelation, which we will be reading before this year is over. And I tell you, it's not lovey-dovey. But if we don't watch out, we're going to see everything written in Revelation happen in our lifetime. And it's going to be people who think they're doing what God said to do that are going to usher them in that. Read the word. Study and meditate on it day and night. Because history unknown is history repeated. Don't allow your legislatures and all these people change history because it makes them feel uncomfortable. It should make you feel uncomfortable so you don't repeat it. If the children of Israel had remembered their history, they wouldn't have been sent into exile. They would know who they are because they were met, just like their forefathers who had to walk in the desert for 40 years. That's why we have no idea who 10 tribes are. We have no idea who you are, who you belong to. And, yeah, we have folks that go from the National Geographic and say, well, this must be a tribe of Israel, or this must be a tribe of Israel. God has veiled it for a purpose and a reason. Understand, everything that happens is for a purpose and a reason. God will reveal who his children are. God will show who his children are. And they will want to go home. Israel needs to get ready, because there will be an exodus of children coming home. Children coming home. Get ready. It's happening. God is putting that seed in his children's spirit. You don't belong wherever you may be. You're going to want to go home. Trust God. Ask him to heal you. Heal your mind. Heal your spirit. Heal your heart. Heal your land. Proverbs 20:10-12 says, the first weights and the first measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his deeds. That's why our kids out there who might be listening, not my words, not your mama's words, not your grandmama, granddaddy, daddy's words, but God's word tells you, even a child is known whether what he does is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. But again, to our children that are listening, even a child is known by his deeds. If you're disrespectful, if you're nasty, if you don't listen, you're known by that to God. If you don't pray, if you don't learn, and you do awful, evil things, you are known by your deeds. Not your mama, not your daddy, but your deeds. I understand that. As a child, I was something else. Thanking God that he helped me. Go to the store. I'm going to the store. Can't nobody tell me I can't go across the street. I dare you to go. You don't have to dare me. I'm going over to get my pickle. And I'm going to get a peppermint to go with. I got some money. Miss got some money. Miss going to the store. Miss got hit by a car and could have died. Again, known by her disobedient deeds. Thanking God, he didn't take my life that day. Disobedient. 7 years old, thinking I knew something, didn't know nothing. It could have died. But God. And every day I get up and I have that pain in my right side, I remember disobedience. Mm-mm. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When arthritis hit, because I got hit by that car, because I was disobedient as a child. So I'm speaking from my own perspective on this. We've got to be obedient to God. Acts 12, and it says this in Acts chapter 12. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And we know James was an ace of Jesus. Peter, James, and John. He was in his inner circle. And he got killed. He was martyred. He saw that it pleased the Jews. He proceeded to further to seize Peter also. So he's going after Jesus' inner circle. But God ain't ready for Peter to go yet. And we all know that he didn't take John until after John had been on the island of Patmos and wrote the book of Revelation and died from old age, the only one of all these disciples and apostles that died from old age was John. But James martyred first one mentioned of Jesus in the circle who died. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, came, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the day of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So Herod was planning on killing Peter too. But that was not God's plan. Let's keep it going. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but y'all caught that but in there. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Woo! So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. They just said, now you've been praying for God to save Peter, but now you're sitting there with no faith, thinking that it must be an angel, that he must be there. Come on. When we pray, we got to believe what we're praying for. Hallelujah, will come to pass. And they were praying for Peter's release, and it came to pass. Come on now, let's see what happens. Woo, it's such a good word. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James. Now that's the brother of Jesus. And to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastius, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod arrayed in royal peel, sat on his throne and gave an orientation to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Whew. I got to read this again. It says, so on a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an orientation to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man. They was calling Herod a God. Don't play. And I'm telling all those folks that call some people little gods and gods, and he's a god, and he's a this, and he's a that. Be careful, because there's only one God. And this is what it says, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Ooh, hallelujah. You better understand. Don't play with God. And don't try to act like you God either, because there's only one. And he is in charge of everything. Keep playing. Keep thinking that you can make rules to hurt people. Keep thinking that you can say things that could get people killed, that you go around just lying and cheating and treating people badly. Understand, God does not play. And this is what it says in our life lessons for today's lesson from Dr. Stanley. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church, Acts 11:15. And it says the church had already lost one leader, James, the brother of John, to the executioner. Now it appeared as though it would lose Peter too, but God loves to perform miracles in response to corporate prayer. And, you know, we have corporate prayer at our church. And I tell you this, one, two, three people may show up, but we need more people to show up to corporate prayer, because corporate prayer changes the trajectory of a church. It changes the trajectory of a city, a nation, a country, a county. It changes everything. Corporate prayer is important. When we come together in prayer, unified for a particular purpose, God works. I'm telling you, I've seen it, and I know it's true. Corporate prayer changes lives. Acts 12:9, he went out and followed him, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter followed the angel. He thought he was dreaming. He was like, I'm going to die tomorrow. And so he thought, well, in my vision, I'm being free. And then God wakes him up and says, Peter has seen visions from God before, and this thing looked so unusual that he thought it had to be another one. But it wasn't. It was actually happened just as he saw it. Nothing is impossible for God. Can y'all say that with me this morning? Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. I'm believing God for miracles in my life. I'm believing God for the mountains that I need to go through, that those mountains will be removed. I'm believing God for everything he asked for me, that it is mine in Jesus' name. I'm believing God. Whew, hallelujah. For my good and the good of those I love, and for my country and for this planet. I'm praying for a ceasefire in Ukraine. I'm praying for Russians to be saved. I'm praying for Ukrainians to be saved by the blood of Jesus, that somebody will get that fire lit for Christ and watch God work in that nation. I'm believing God for it. And as we go into life examples, Rhoda, joy in prayer. Late into the night, the church pled for God's mercy and on behalf of their imprisoned leader, Peter. Rhoda, a household servant, knew well the believers who met in Mary's large house. But though they prayed earnestly for Peter, it seemed inevitable that he face a morning execution. Suddenly, a sharp rap at the door interrupted their prayers. Rhoda approached the entrance, listened, and heard a familiar voice at the gate. Stood Peter in her excitement. She forgot to let him in, and instead ran to inform the praying church. Peter is at the door, and she exclaimed. But not until Peter stood among them, recounting his deliverance, did they jubilantly acknowledge the Lord's provision. just as Rhoda's gladness sustained her heart when life became painful, so the joy of Christ who saves us when the future appears impossible. The delight of your salvation helps you endure when disappointments and difficult issues assail you. Are you trusting God today? Are you praying to God today? Are you asking God, help us, oh God, of our salvation? And again, let's complete it for the glory of your name. Ask God today for his help. Ask God today to guide you, to lead you in Jesus' name. Ask God, for all things are possible with him. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a couple of prayers and a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And up that we prayed on yesterday, actually. We did pray this prayer yesterday, but I'm going to pray it again. It says, while I wait, they desire better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews 11:16. Advocate, thank you for the hope that is found in you. Come on now. Every desire finds its fulfillment in you. When I look around this earth searching for a society that lives with your values, tearing down walls instead of building them, I cannot find it. There is so much beauty to be found in every nation, and yet none has got it all right. How I long for the day when Jesus returns and sets all the wrong things right, when neighbors will look out for each other with peace as their best interest and not fear as their watchguard. Lord, your kingdom is better than the most successful nation on earth. I align myself to your heavenly way, knowing that this place is not my true home. Come on now. You are found in the waiting, and you know what it is to practice patience in every area of delay in my life. Keep my mind filled with the clarity of peace and wisdom. May my eyes be fixed on the coming goodness, grateful for the evidence that is with us today. And the question for yesterday is this: how do you deal with having to wait for something? And that's for our children as well as the adults. If there are children listening, then there's sometimes you gotta wait. Be patient with your parents. Be patient with your grandparents. Be patient with whoever is taking care of you. Be patient and watch God work. But you gotta trust God first. And this is our word for today. I am free. Say that with me. I am free. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:32. We know that word. That's one of our highlightables. Hallelujah. The truth shall make you free. John 8:32. And it says, the victorious one, you infuse my heart with the joy of one who once was limited, but now is free. Jesus, you laid out the truth of the Father, leveling the playing field for every heart. The religious don't have an advantage, and the beggar doesn't have a disadvantage when it comes to knowing you. No one can buy your love or forgiveness. You freely give it to all who ask. What a glorious reality that not only does the truth of God's extravagant love pour out, set us free, it sets everyone from every background free. God, where I have become exclusive in my thinking, fooled into letting pride keep me from sharing your incredible life-changing love, may I be set free to share the truth of your word with everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that liberty is not full of obligations. It sets me free to choose how I will live my life. I rejoice in the choices I get to make with and for you today. I am grateful. I am grateful. I am so grateful that God gave me another day. Thank God today don't forget that God has given this nation independence. But don't let your independence be independent of God. God is in charge and he loves you so much. And he wants the best for this nation and he wants the best for each of us. Trust God and let us not fight over foolishness. Let us come together in love. Because God is love. And as we wrap up this morning, are there any areas that you feel bound by obligation instead of freedom? Think on that as you go through this day of independence. And I understand to my brothers and sisters who listen in from other countries, God has got you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. Keep trusting in him and watch him work in your life. And our word for today from our sister in Christ is this. Your greatest worth is not what you have in life, but who you have in your life. Make God the man part of your life. And today will be Independence Day. Have a marvelous Monday, family. And remember, when you pray, ask God. And remind him that he is the God of your salvation. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Keep God first. If there's anyone that has a word this morning, now is the time to push the number 1 on your phone. If you are on a different medium, the number is 213-943-3597. And we do have a caller. Carly, your line is open.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Good morning, Evangelist. How are you this morning?
I'm just truly, truly blessed and highly favored by God. I thank him for, hallelujah, the word of God that, hallelujah, has instilled in you to speak across the globe. And as the word speaks for itself, for us to believe, we have to believe, and we have to receive, and we have to do. So if we believe in the word of God and receive the word of God and trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding and do as the word has instructed you to do, you can't go wrong. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist. Thank you for that wonderful word. And, you know, keeping God first in everything and watching him work. And know where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. Not from your mama, not from your daddy, not from the government, but from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
As we get ready to leave this morning. We pray as we pray every day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours be blessed on this day of independence. Many have the day off. I have to go to work. So I just say to you today, keep God first in all that you're doing. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Don't let anybody set you off or make you angry. You didn't get invited to mama's house or auntie's house or this or that. Let it go. Shake it off. Give it to God and enjoy your day of rest. Let God be the God of all, not just the God of a certain group, but he is the God of all. And Jesus Christ, all he says is accept me. So if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You are saved by grace. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Be in the light. Let God's light just shine on you. And when you get to the party, don't worry. Because somebody said, well, here comes the Holy Roller. Or here comes the one. All she want to do is pray. All she want to do is talk about Jesus. You know what? You talk about Jesus. And you pray over all of them. And if it means just sitting down and being quiet, then sit down and be quiet. Because sometimes it is not the place to holler and hoot, but to be quiet and listen and pray over your brothers Pray over your sisters. Pray over your family. And you know what? It's all right to dance. Don't let anybody put you in a box. It's all right to dance. But just make sure you're dancing to the right music. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
But anyway, enjoy your day, family. Let God be the center of everything you do. Let his light shine in you. Because I'm going to tell you something. While you at the picnic, while you're at the party, while you're at the cookout, somebody's going to come and say, will you pray for me? And that's who you're there for. Remember that. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes life. Even Uncle Skeeters and the boo-boos and them. Prayer changes things. Have a great day, family. Enjoy your 4th of July. Eat your food. Enjoy yourself. Thank God for the cookout. And love him above all else. Watch him work. Watch him work today. Watch him work in our lives. Watch him work in this nation. I'm believing God for miracles. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Because why? Y'all just got to go to work. Love y'all and be blessed. Have a great day. Bye-bye. It's a wrap. It's a wrap, Evangeline.